This podcast is brought to you by MyScore IQ. MyScore IQ services are here to help you be prepared when it comes to making big financial decisions, such as buying or refinancing your home or purchasing that new car. Try it out for only $1 for a 7-day trial. You'll receive your FICO scores from all three major credit bureaus, along with active credit report monitoring and alerts for changes to your credit report and possible suspicious activity.
MyScore IQ services can help you be in the best position possible when you take that step to apply for a home or auto loan, all for $1 for a 7-day trial. Visit MyScoreIQ.com/Todd to learn more. That's MyScoreIQ.com/Todd.
All right, so let's pivot. It's been a big week for earnings, and so we thought it might be a fun thing to do to kind of make this a little bit of like a reaction video or reaction podcast to a couple of interesting but very different earnings reports. And so we thought that we'd look at Roku and Etsy this week. And those, if I'm not mistaken, have had very, very different price movements post EPS.
So, right, and in preparation, Joe, in full disclosure, listeners, I have not looked at either of these press releases.
Nor have I.
Yeah, I did. So I wanted it to be, okay, I've seen the action. Okay, I know what the stocks did. But yep. I have not read through these yet. So it'd be interesting to pull these up and actually take a look and see how these companies did. And just as a general aside, Joe, it has been a tough earnings season. And you know, listeners, I get it. Okay, you're seeing great, quote unquote, great earnings reports with companies posting better than expected revenue and better than expected earnings. And guess what? The stock's trading down, right? And you're like, what is going on? And that happens. It happens. And I'll tell you why it happens, Joe. It happens because over the last few quarters, people have gotten used to making money by buying a day or two ahead of the EPS report and then flipping it the day of the EPS report for a quick profit. Well, I'll tell you, when everybody starts doing something, it's going to stop working. it absolutely. So now you've got a ton of people who were front running these things, who guess what? Their only interest was selling that next day. So it didn't matter if it was a good report. They were selling it, right? It didn't matter if it was a bad report. They were selling it. And I think the other part of that is you had, you know, technologies, the rotation that we've talked about for months towards these late cycle, mid cycle, late cycle stocks and away from technology has continued. And I think a lot of portfolio managers who, you know, obviously are managing millions of shares, right? On a normal day with normal volume, Joe, they can't unload millions of shares. They would move the stock too much. But on a day where there's a lot of activity because of earnings, guess what? They can sell into that. So even if you have a good report, you could have institutional weight against you just because they're using that liquidity as their opportunity to reduce their exposure, lock in their gain, free up some cash to reposition towards some of these other cyclical baskets like, you know, the steel stocks or the copper stocks or whatever.
Right. All right. So I'm going to share my screen here. As usual, as we remind you every week, we post these on YouTube. So if you're interested in kind of following along with us, I will make sure that the YouTube link is in the podcast description on Spotify and all of your other favorite platforms. So here we are. Here is Roku's earnings report. I'll zoom this in a little bit just so it's a little bit easier to read. And I mean, 79% year over year, that pops to me. Platform revenue 101%, gross profit up 132%. Wow. This company is just really interesting to me. Like I don't understand how they manage to be as successful as they are, considering the amount of alternatives that there are on the market, right? Like I don't know of a TV that like a flat screen TV that you can buy now that doesn't have a smart TV capability built into it. Plus there's Chromecast, plus there's Apple TV, plus there's Amazon Fire Stick. And I mean, these numbers, these revenue numbers are not huge, but they're nothing to laugh at. They're nothing to balk at either, right, Todd?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, scroll up a little bit there. So yeah, yeah. That's 79. So you got 574 million. So, you know, just round up for math, 2.4 billion run rate annually in sales, a 79% growth. That's pretty gosh darn nice right there. Platform revenue up 101%, added 2.4 million incremental active accounts, right? Which they can monetize.
Right.
So they're now at 53.6 million. And imagine they're monetizing in a few different ways, listeners, right? So it's not just you buy a Roku device in a Best Buy or something, right? You could buy, you can get exposure to Roku through the TVs that you're buying at Best Buy instead of just the buy. So if you upgrade and you have a Roku enabled TV, right? So they're collecting probably some licensing revenue or something like that from the TV manufacturers, right? So, or they could be getting subscription revenue from the people who are subscribing to the Roku service, or they could be getting advertising dollars from people who are using the platform to advertise to you. And they do share your information and your engagement with the platform, making, you know, those advertising dollars pretty valuable. Right. So I think that it's kind of that three-legged stool, and it's clearly it's working for them. But one of the things I was curious about, Joe, here, we looking at those active accounts, right, just to see whether or not we see any slowing, because you talked about a lot of competition. So we see 2.4 million. And that is, I guess that is down a little bit, right, from Q3, Q4, which changed from 46 million to 51.2.
Yep.
And it's below Q2 to Q3 20, right? Which was 3 million.
Right.
And it's below Q1 to Q2, which of 2020, which was, 3 point something.
Yeah. So it's about 51.2 to 53.6. So yeah, a little over 2 million. It's still, that's not that bad. Like, as far as if you're looking for consistent growth, I mean, I think I would want to see like what Q2 looks like, but I mean, that's slowing down very slightly, I would say.
Yeah. And I mean, well, the other thing that jumps out at me here too, is that think about this, you have a total net revenue growth of 79%, but active accounts were only up 35%. So that suggests to me that each account is more valuable.
Right. And you see right here, average revenue per user grew to $32.14, up 32% year over year. So there you go.
Yeah. So every user is 32% more valuable than it was a year ago.
Which is very important. Like, that's probably, that might be the most important fact in these highlights here, except for perhaps the gross profit up 132%.
I suppose that kind of is kind of like the Netflix story too, right? They had to sell, get a deceleration, maybe law of big numbers, right? Deceleration in new account activations. But if they're able to monetize at a higher pace for each one of those users, then that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So just scrolling through here.
Let's go up. Actually, scroll up to sales and marketing. So sales and marketing, total gross margin. So what are they spending on sales and marketing? Looks like
88 million.
Yeah, up about 30%. But you know, I mean, they're spending less than the revenue growth, right?
Right.
And general administration went up a good amount. But gross margin did improve. Total gross margin did improve.
Yep.
So that's good. And then the outlook looks pretty solid, right? 610, 620.
Net income of 10 to 20. Hard to
poke holes in that.
This looks really good. So now we're just, again, listeners, we're just scrolling through here. So now we're kind of into the just text version of this. Yeah, a lot of this
streamed hours. Look at that streamed hours in that first paragraph.
18.3 billion. Wow.
And look at that increase.
Hold on. I want to do some quick math here. So that's 53 million accounts. 18. Oh, hold on.
Oh, geez. Carry the one.
Oh, boy.
18 billion. While Joe breaks out his, what is the old math device from old Middle East?
The abacus?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I was just looking at here while you run that number is that, you know, you've got this, that's probably why, you know, you saw just average user value has gone up, average revenue per user. I mean, 49% more engagement, more hours streamed on the platform. That's
339 hours, viewers. So that's, is that,
so that's going to be per
quarter. So that's just in the quarter, right?
Per quarter, yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
And it looks like they unveiled a couple new products, the 4K Plus.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the whole concept here is for Roku to make a very asset-light option for the TV manufacturers. So it'll run on, you know, equipment that the TV, not expensive equipment, right? Not expensive chips, whatever. Because for a TV manufacturer, it's kind of a commodity. They got to keep their expenses as low as possible. And Roku provides them with the ability to, you know, have a very engaging content experience that's a good marketing for people that go in TV and say, yeah, well, I want to cut the cord. I can get a Roku enabled, right? And they're allowed to do it. And it's probably a lot cheaper for them to have Roku handle all that.
Right.
Than it is for them to try and do it. And they certainly don't want to be, you know, having high
expenses. I just noticed they're producing their own content now too. So they have their own channel, which makes sense. They have their own channel on their platform. And so they're producing stuff like Apple is.
Yeah, and if you go back up there, look at that. It says Roku is enabling it advertisers. The Roku channel is enabling advertisers, becoming the channel's number one show in first weekend. Da, 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 da. So that's the cipher that you talked about relatively.
Yep.
And yeah, that's potentially big, right? So I mean, it has its own channel now, and it can, you know, pocket the advertising dollars directly from, you know, people from people that way.
Oh, and they just acquired the show This Old House. So there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. So anything else you want me to kind of look for here, Todd? Or do you want to switch to our other?
No, I think once you bounce out of that for a second, I'm going to share my screen. And I just want to see, I want to see a couple different things. So let me just share my screen now. Go back there, click over there. Pull up that, go to here. And I'm just gonna go on Seeking Alpha real quick. And I wanna punch it up and see what the actual numbers were relative to, spikes. Yeah, so the stock was trading up. And Joe, maybe you can see what the stock's doing right now.
Yeah, I've got it up right here in my Fidelity terminal. So it's up 11% today, is that right?
Not a bad response. Not a bad response. You know, I was saying earlier how everybody was gaming EPS by buying and then selling the next day. One of the things I tweeted earlier this week is that we saw that change this week where nobody wants to own a SaaS stock or a high-tech stock or one of the SPACs or anything prior to their earnings release because everything was getting destroyed. So the last couple of days, what we saw is people selling the shares off ahead of the EPS, which if you think about it, flips that whole trade upside down because now what are they going to do? They're going to cover. So the incentive is for them to cover the shares and have them rally. And Roku obviously bent there. So yeah, revenue of 574 beat by 83 million and the gap EPS beat by 67 cents.
So it looks like this is probably their biggest volume day ever, 14 million and counting.
And if I pull up my chart on Roku, yeah, I mean, that's an acceleration.
The high not their biggest, but they're biggest for 7 or 8 months.
Interesting. Yeah, and look at what I was saying before, Joe, about how nobody wanting to hold into earnings. Look at that distribution the last 5 days, all the way down to the 200-day, and then the pop today. But if you look at that revenue number, It's the highest in at least four quarters. And if I go on my Market Smith chart, yeah, that's the highest. This goes back to June, the quarter June 2019. And that's the, this is the highest one.
Crazy. I got to be honest, I might buy this as soon as we stop recording here. I'm seeing if I have enough cash to deploy. Yeah, I very well might buy this stock as soon as we log off here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's the argument against it has been, well, it's like you said, it's commoditized service or whatever, or it's just a stick that you stick into your TV. But the light bulb moment for me last fall when I finally woke up and bought it was that no, it's much more than that. It's software. It's
right.
It's the software that's important. It's not the hardware. It's the fact that they're able to you know, allow all of these other manufacturers to provide to be their marketing, basically, to provide it embedded on these TVs and then be able to leverage that software, that embedded software, for advertising dollars and subscription dollars and people who want to watch a movie tonight for $4.99 and you know.
Absolutely.
So it's interesting. Okay, so let's move on to the next one.